to Fort McMurray Matters, keeping you connected to our community.
Brought to you by Fort McMurray Orthodontics and Cooper & Company Law Firm
on Mix 103.7.
Well, welcome back to another edition of Fort McMurray Matters here on Mix 103.7. I'm Steph Seidel, and on the line I have Therese Greenwood, author and executive director of the Multicultural Association of Wood Buffalo. Therese, thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Steph.
I am so excited for you as well. I see that you have been made a finalist for the 2020 Alberta Book Publishing Awards.
Yes, that's right. I'm pretty excited about it myself. It was really unexpected, and so I was just delighted to find out.
Now, I have chatted with you previously about a crime novel you wrote, but this one is a fiction novel, correct?
It's actually a nonfiction memoir about the wildfire, and it's called What You Take With You, Wildfire Family and the Road Home, and it was published by the University of Alberta Press. So it came out last year, and it's an eyewitness account of the wildfire and the evacuation, and probably very similar to what a lot of people in Fort McMurray experienced. And it's also about, the physical and emotional artifacts that we take with us when we're in a time of crisis.
Wow, really cool. So it came out last year. What was the writing process like of that? We're 4 years post-fire, but of course, things are sometimes slow, things are quick. When did you write this?
I started writing it about 6 months after the fire. And a really good friend of mine was the president at the time of the Writers Union of Canada. And he phoned me up and he said, how's your book coming along about the wildfire? And I said, oh, I'm not writing a book about it. And he said, what? Why, are you crazy? You have to write a book about this. Like, you were there. You're an eyewitness. You have to do it. So he helped me get a book contract with the University of Alberta Press. And then I had to figure out what I was going to write about. And what I actually wrote about is a story that probably people in Fort McMurray are kind of familiar with, because I lived in Abbotsand, had, the 15-minute warning to get out of the house. And I grabbed a box and I filled it up with just the craziest things when I got down to Edmonton and was evacuated and looked in the box, and I had things like a rolling pin and a statue and just this crazy stuff. But when I started looking through the box, I realized that everything I took in the box was from someone that I knew who had passed away. And so when I started looking into it a little deeper, I realized I grabbed these things because, they were things that couldn't be replaced because the person was gone. Wow. But also that there were people who had a really big impact on my life and who had taught me all these lessons about life. And they turned out those were the exact lessons that I needed to get through the wildfire recovery.
Wow. That is so cool. It's certainly interesting to hear about like a rolling pin and statue and things like that, because I've seen other people say they grabbed Kraft singles, the processed cheese, or like a pair of snow pants, which both things were probably not very useful. But those things for you seem to be very, sentimental, that are useful in your heart.
That's right. And you do hear a lot of stories about people who, grab something that their grandparents gave them, or their late parents or something like that. And because these objects have a lot of meaning for you, because you realize we lost our house in the fire. I don't think that's a spoiler alert in Fort McMurray when I just said I lived in Abbotsand. But you realize later that it is just stuff that you lost, and you would never equate that with, the loss of life or anything like that. But also there's a power in holding these objects that mean a lot to you in your hand. So, the way they look, the way they smell, the way they feel, it brings back the memory of the person that gave them to you, right? And that's, I think, when we're mourning those things that we lost in the fire. No one's ever came up to me and said, oh, darn, I really miss that coffee maker I lost in the fire. They say, I miss the piece of jewelry, that my mother gave me, or I miss the quilt that my grandmother made. And those are the things that you can't replace. But they're also the things that they have this deeper meaning, because they're connected to the things that you need for recovery, right?
Yeah. And now I know that you are from, I think, Ontario, correct?
I am. I'm from the Thousand Islands region of Ontario.
Really cool. And then having lost your house in Avisan, what made you continue to say Fort McMurray is my home and stay around?
We've never considered not coming back to Fort McMurray. I don't know. It just never really crossed our minds. So we really wanted to be involved in the recovery, and it's our home. So I probably should have thought about it in hindsight, because I don't know if I told you this stuff, but I was also just evacuated during the flood.
Oh my goodness.
So, I know, we did the same thing all over again. And this time, by the way, I did pack snacks when I left, because the first time I didn't pack anything, and then we went, for about 18 hours without eating anything. So this time I took some granola bars and some bottles of water.
Good job. Further prepared for your second evacuation in 4 years. Did you this time bring your rolling pin and your statue and things as well?
Oh, absolutely. I brought all that. Well, I have a list now, right? Because it was in the book, so I know what to take. But this time I smartened up too. And after the fire, I now have an emergency kit. So it's got all the things that you need, like the radio and the hand sanitizer and flashlights and all that. So I was able to just throw that right in the car. So that only took like 30 seconds. So I had more time to get other stuff.
There we go. And how did your house fare in the flood?
We had a flooded out garage basement, but we had enough time to move some of the important things out of the basement. So we didn't fare too badly overall compared to a lot of people.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that, and sad to hear that you had to go through it at all again.
Well, thank you.
We're going to take our first break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but when we come back, we're going to be hearing more from Therese Greenwood, our author and executive director of the Multicultural Association of Wood Buffalo, about her book, and then later on, also about some Canada Day plans. Stick around.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Fort McMurray Orthodontics and Cooper & Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Fort McMurray Orthodontics and Cooper & Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. If you're just tuning in, we are on the phone right now with Therese Greenwood, local author and executive director of the Multicultural Association of Wood Buffalo. I'm Steph Seidel, and currently we're talking about Therese's book, which is called What You Take With You, Wildfire, Family, and the Road Home. And the reason why we're talking about it right now is because you have been nominated as a finalist for the 2020 Alberta Book Publishing Awards. So cool.
Yes. Yeah. You know what? It is really cool. It's a big honor. And I'm excited to be that the book is nominated for an Alberta Award, because it's really an Alberta story. Like, the fire happened in Fort McMurray, obviously, but the whole province really came together to support the people of Fort McMurray while we were in this diaspora, where we were spread all over the province during the evacuation. And the story of everybody opening their doors and welcoming everyone and pitching in to try to help, that's all true. And so it's exciting for me that's part of the story, and that this is an Alberta award.
For sure. That is so cool. So it's nominated in the trade nonfiction category. Can you explain that category to me a bit?
Sure. trade nonfiction means nonfiction books like memoirs and histories, as opposed to textbooks.
Okay.
And computer manuals and things like that. Excellent. So trade nonfiction means the kind that you would buy in a bookstore.
Perfect. And speaking of bookstores, you can buy it right now?
That's right. They usually have a few copies at the Kohl's, and they're very good to me over at the Kohl's. So I would like to recommend that if you can, pop in there, and I would be happy to sign the book for anybody if you go in and shop local. And also, it's available on Amazon and Indigo and the usual online suspects.
And you mentioned that they're very good to you at Kohl's, as if you've had a relationship with them before, not just for this book. You've written others, correct?
I have. The year before, I brought out a collection of my short stories with a Calgary publisher, and it's called Kill As You Go. And it's sort of short crime mystery fiction. Some of it set in Alberta, some of it set in Ontario. And I had a little bit of luck there with a couple of the stories in it were also nominated for the Arthur Ellis Award, which is the Canadian Crime Writing Association's award for best short story.
Congratulations. That's wonderful.
Thank you. There's one story in it I'm very proud of, too, because it last year it won the Spur Award for best short story from the Western Writers of America. And so that was like really, it was a big deal for me because to be a Canadian and win the American contest is really rewarding. But I really like the story because it's a total Alberta story set at the Calgary Stampede in about 1920s. It's one of my favorite stories. So I like to plug that one whenever I can. It's also in Kill As You Go.
Perfect. And that one is available at Kohl's as well, which is so awesome. And I would just like to add to that. So neat when you can meet an author who has these accolades that lives right here in our community. So if you are thinking about what your next pandemic book should be, definitely check out these ones from Therese Greenwood. Therese, can you tell me maybe, I know you had said that the book that you're nominated for right now, What You Take With You, is kind of stories and lessons. Could you give me one of the lessons you learned? Maybe, I'm sure it spans quite a few pages, but...
Sure. Well, one of the, it's kind of a book about resilience and basically what it boils down to is you don't get resilient all on your own. You learn resilience from the people around you and the people that you love and the lessons that they teach you. So, and I used each object to sort of connect with the people. So for example, the rolling pin that I took actually belonged to my late father-in-law, who was Roy Bonestell. And some of your listeners might remember Roy because he was the host of the CBC's flagship spirituality program in the 70s and 80s. It was called Man Alive. And so Roy had, traveled the whole world and interviewed kind of the great spiritual thinkers of his day. So he had met with Desmond Tutu, Mother Teresa, the Dalai Lama, all of those kinds of people. And so, at nights we'd be at Roy's house and he'd be rolling out pie dough. He was great. He loved making pies. And while he was making, a pie right in front of you, he'd be telling you some piece of philosophy that the Dalai Lama told him, or something about the fight against apartheid that Desmond Tutu had said, or something. And he had a very funny story about Mother Teresa's handkerchief that he ended up with, which I won't share with you because it's about a half an hour story. But he was a big spiritual thinker, but he was also like an incredibly funny guy, and he was always telling jokes. And so a lot of the I was going through the process of recovery, I was thinking a lot about, the lessons that I learned from Roy and from those, great spiritual leaders that he had been privileged to connect with. And so you draw on those kinds of resources yourself. And I'm sure a lot of the people listening to this who had an experience during the fire had the same kind of experience.
Really cool. Well, you can hear more in Teresa's book when you pick it up at Kohl's at the Peter Pond Mall. And she has said she'll sign it for you. My guest this morning is Therese Greenwood, author and executive director of the Multicultural Association of Wood Buffalo. I'm Steph Seidel. We're going to take our last break here on Fort McMurray Matters. But when we come back, we're going to be hearing a bit about Canada Day. Stick around.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Fort McMurray Orthodontics and Cooper and Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Fort McMurray Orthodontics and Cooper and Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. I'm Steph Seidel on the phone right now with Therese Greenwood, author and executive director of the Multicultural Association. And we're about to chat about Canada Day, which is looking a little bit different this year. And usually the Multicultural Association does a ton of fun things. They're a part of the parade. They've got a pancake breakfast on Canada Day, a parade of nations, things like that. What is this year going to look like, Therese?
Well, this was a big challenge for us at the Multicultural Association because, we're all working from home, and also our offices are in the Bob Lamb building, so we've been flooded out of our offices.
Oh,
so
no.
We were figuring, we usually do this pancake breakfast that has about 2,000 people come. It's one of our most popular things that we do. So we really wanted to come up with something that would, really unite the community after having been through all of, you know, the pandemic and the flood and the downturn, and how we could really showcase, you know, the great community spirit that we have here. So we came, and I'm sure most of your listeners are aware that Fort McMurray is one of the most multicultural and diverse communities in Canada per capita. Like, mm-hmm. we're very similar to Toronto. And I was just talking to the public school board this morning, and they said their students reflect 84 different countries and 72 wow. different languages. So just wow. to give people an idea. So we came up with this idea that we were really hoping we were going to pull off, where we would invite the community to sing O Canada in a variety of different languages, whatever language they would like, and we would cut them together to make one multilingual O Canada that we would play on Canada Day. Both on our web, we're going to launch it on our Facebook and YouTube channel, and also it will be playing during the fireworks displays at the RRC on some of the big screens they have there. So we were really hoping that we got more than three submissions so that we could get it all together. And as usual, Fort McMurray has just embraced this, and we have been getting fantastic videos. Submissions. We're already up to 21 different Whoa. Submissions. I know, and we've got every language from Cree to Russian to Tagalog to Gujarati. It's just been incredible. So we're working to cut together our multilingual version that we are going to play in Canada, but we got so many great submissions that we're actually releasing the full submissions every day at noon. So we released one just before this show went to air, and we hope people will check it out on the Multicultural Association's Facebook page and also on our YouTube channel. And it's just, I have to tell you, Steph, it brings a tear to your eye. It is just so, everybody is so sincere, and they have worked so hard to do these great videos. Although, and some of the people are also having a little bit of fun. They're wearing their Canada Day sunglasses. They're wearing funny Canada Day hats. And everybody's trying to dress in red and white. It's just fantastic.
That is, I love that. That's such a heartwarming thing to unify Canada, but also celebrate such a diverse, diverse population.
Oh, only in Fort McMurray could we have pulled this off. It is a very Fort McMurray thing for sure. Or Wood Buffalo thing, I should say. Let me correct myself.
You're allowed. And then I know that the RMWB right now, this week, we are partnering with them as well to hand out some Canada Day kits so that you can kind of decorate around your office or around your house. And the Multicultural Association has something in those kits as well, right?
That's right. We have actually got, each kit is going to have a set of stickers we've had printed out. And it says happy, there's six stickers. Five of them say Happy Canada Day in different languages in the community. And the sixth one is blank so that you can write your own Happy Canada Day in whatever language you like on to proudly wear on July 1st.
Really cool. What does Canada Day mean to you?
Oh, that's a good question. Like, up until now, it meant pancakes, I guess. And I'm very fussy. If it's Canada Day pancakes, I like to have real maple syrup.
That
you know,
is
not the corn syrup stuff, right?
Valid request, for sure.
And the other thing Canada Day means to me is food. And that's one thing that we, at the Multicultural Association, you know, we're really privileged in that we run some cultural cookeries, and so all the cultures in our community are very enthusiastic about sharing their culture through their food with other groups. And so usually Canada Day for me means getting to try out all these like great kinds of food. So I'm not sure what I'm going to do with the social distancing on. I think it's going to cut into my ability to really like mouth through a variety of it. Yeah. but I'm going to give it my best shot.
Oh, I'm going to root for you in that, because it sounds like
a
wonderful way to spend your Canada Day.
I'm going to give it my best attempt.
Here we go. Well, we're just about out of time here today. Did you have anything you'd like to add?
No, just that if it, we still are, we've passed the deadline for having your video included in the multilingual version because we had to get it edited together and submitted. But if you still want to, you know, do a cell phone video of yourself or your family singing "O Canada," wearing red and white, and appropriately physical distancing, send it, and we will put it up on the Facebook page and the YouTube page. There's, we're going to try to get as many as in as we can right up until the actual day of.
I love it. And you can check that out, MCAWB, or the Multicultural Association of Wood Buffalo. Either way, you search that on Facebook, it'll take you straight to those stunning and heartwarming videos. Therese Greenwood, author and executive director of the Multicultural Association of Wood Buffalo, thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, thank you, Steph, for helping us get the word out. We really appreciate it.
Anytime. This has been Fort McMurray Matters. You can tune in every weekday at noon to hear another episode of What's Going On in Your Community. I'm Steph Seidel, and this is Mix 103.7.
That's the end of another edition of Fort McMurray Matters.
Want a copy of this episode or any past episode?
Download the podcast at mix1037fm.com.